Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need money.
That's why you're listening to Bloomberg Radio and Taking Stock. How do you make money in this environment, especially in an environment right now where stocks are largely driven by the earnings results? Here to talk a little bit more about the outlook right now is Michael Shaul. He's chairman, chief executive officer at Marketfield Asset Management, $21 billion in assets under management. He joins us in our Taking Stock studio. Great to have you back with us.
Thank you, Carol.
Hey, the environment. Where do we begin? What, when you, I don't know, start your day, what do you care most about? What's going on a macro level? Let's start there.
You know, I mean, we have a sort of funny period of a month where sort of most of the important data for July is kind of out, and we're sort of sitting around waiting for the late July data. So I'd say right now it's kind of a little bit of a macro vacuum. I mean, what we always do is not just look at what's coming out in terms of data, which I say is light, but we also look at which way is the wind blowing, what are people trying to convince themselves. You know, I'm fascinated the degree to which central banks are tying themselves up in knots over this issue of wage inequality.
You know, why so?
I think it's part of a big social movement. I think you look back at sort of Occupy Wall Street, which I thought was a bit of a joke at the time, and I think I underestimated the degree to which I think that was a turning point for the social debate. And my feeling is that central banks have really been sucked into this. I think that they basically hang out in the same places as academics and journalists and a bunch of other opinion formers. And somehow they've kind of got sucked into this whole concept of inequality. And the idea that wage growth is insufficient is fast becoming the sole focus for global central banking.
Is it a wrong focus then in your point?
I think at best it's an overly narrow focus. I think there's several problems with it. One problem is I don't think they measure it in anything like a reliable way. I mean, I think that the wage data they have is very much big picture. It's very much survey driven. It's very much based on two averages being compared with one another. I think if you look at this particular earnings season, there are signs that, you know, a reasonable number of companies in different sectors starting to talk about wage pressures on the cost side. Mm-hmm. So I think there's good anecdotal evidence out there that something is happening in the labor market. But, you know, if you look at the history of this cycle, we've had the same emergency monetary policy in place for about 5 years. And over that period, we probably had five different excuses for it. I mean, you did have the end of the world 5 years ago, which was probably a reasonable excuse. You had a threat of a double dip in 2010. You know, we could argue if it was going to happen, but I think that was reasonable. You had the idea that unemployment was too high and never going to come down 3 years ago. Well, you know, kind of unemployment came down. Then we had the argument that inflation was too low and it was never going to go up.
Well, now we're going to get the dog ate my homework kind of thing.
Yeah, well, now the dog ate your homework is we need to do something about inequality. And that, to me, that's a very tough target, I think, for central banks. I think really the only way they can provoke the kind of wage inflation they're looking for is by provoking general price inflation.
It's funny that you say that because somewhat related, we had the IMF coming out today and saying that the Fed may have more room to keep rates low past mid-2015. And they said because of concerns, well, they say inflation will stay muted. And they also say a 2014 slowdown prolongs the labor market recovery.
Sure. It's the ultimate contrary indicator, the IMF. I mean, absolutely terrible, terrible ability to look beyond 2 weeks into the future.
But are you saying we shouldn't be worried? I mean, what the argument is, right?
Yeah.
That there's, you know, we just talked earlier about executive pay compensation and how the whole pay for performance myth that's out there, it's not necessarily tied to anything. But we also talked about income inequality. And I think, you know, it's grabbing headlines with good reason that there are the rich getting richer. And then there's so many people.
I think there's many issues out there which are legitimate social policy, but are not legitimate monetary policy targets.
Yeah, but you have Janet Yellen talking about, you know, social media stocks and biotech stocks. I mean, have we just gotten kind of lost our focus here?
I think you've got to the point. The central banks are really just sort of in a sort of mission creep mode where there's almost nothing that they don't think is their responsibility. And I think in the middle of it, their central responsibility, which is price stability, is I think being forgotten. And as I say, I do look at this labor inequality thing as something which has really captured the imagination of central banks. I don't think it's an accident that this year's Jackson Hole is going to be about labor economics. I would expect a lot of that symposium to be about how do you actually provoke wage increases. And my feeling is that wage increases are a natural outcome of the latter part of any good economic cycle. And there's a lot of data out there to suggest that we've kind of reached that point all by ourselves.
Our guest at this hour is Michael Shaul, Chairman, Chief Executive Officer at Marketfield Asset Management, $21 billion in assets under management. Michael, we were talking about, you know, the Fed and their focuses on, you know, wage discrepancies and, and inequalities. Are you worried ultimately that the U.S. central bank, global central banks, they're going to miss the mark when it comes to kind of catching inflation, or have they already?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're already way behind the curve. And you know, I don't think anybody's really sat back within the central bank and given us an adequate explanation as to why they blew their call on unemployment and what it actually means for this particular cycle. I mean, they were the ones who stood up in public and said, we're going to target unemployment and we're going to pick a number. And they were maybe
not so much now.
Well, not so much now. They were really maybe 18 months out. And look, I don't mind them being wrong. We, you know, we all make judgment calls and they just don't work.
Right.
But I think when you make a big call like that and you get it completely wrong, that's when you're meant to sit down, get out a pencil and paper and start working out something different. And instead, the different thing is you simply move the target. You start talking about a basket of employment metrics. And the next thing you know, you've kind of shifted it to wage inflation. And I don't think there's been sufficient internal consideration or certainly external communication as to why they got it wrong and what it actually meant for this, what it actually meant for this cycle. I mean, I think they've relied on things like the participation rate to sort of over-explain why they got it wrong. But actually, since the beginning of the year, the participation rate is flat and unemployment's still coming down very quickly.
So do you feel like they keep looking for some reason to kind of keep on with this easy monetary policy?
Yeah, I think that the Fed is almost trying to manage monetary policy for the bond market as opposed for the underlying, you know, for the underlying economy. And
do you really feel like the underlying economy, though, can take higher rates at this point?
Sure. I mean, I think it's crazy to sort of assert that somehow going to 1 or 2% would be problematic for the vast majority of economic transactions. I mean, any economic transaction worth actually participating in could handle an interest rate of 1 or 2%.
Right. Rates are still incredibly low here.
What couldn't handle it is, you know, a large leveraged bond portfolio which is pigged out in the middle of the curve. I mean, that would be a problem, but that's a problem for the bond market, not a problem for the economy.
So how are you guys? You know, I've said this a million times before. I like talking to you guys because your fund has done so well over the last 5 years, you know, beating all your peers. So what's your investment philosophy at this point? I mean, you guys are stock
picking. Sure. I mean, what we've tried to do this year, and I've said it hasn't worked that well yet, but I hope it's going to, is we've really tried to pick on sectors which we think would be able to take advantage of what we think is going on. And what we think is going on is that the internal capacity of this economy is being used up very quickly. And we believe that monetary policy, much as we would criticize the Fed, we believe that the Fed thinks it's going to do what it's going to do. And I think monetary policy will stay loose. Mm. So what you're looking for, I think, are sectors with pricing power. And I think you're starting to see meaningful positive performance by an area like, anything to do with industrial metals. Energy has done really well. Sectors with limited capacity, you know, a subsector like semiconductors has suddenly become an important part of the market for the first time in a decade. We continue to believe that the U.S. housing market has another leg ahead of it.
You do.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea that it's going to stall right here with new home sales at about 45% of their 2001 level, the idea that somehow you had a massive secular shift in the demand for housing, which is permanent in nature, I just don't buy it. I mean, secular shifts really don't take place without changes in the law or.
What about some of the areas that have kind of lagged the market so far this year? And I think about, consumer discretionary, industrials, financials.
Yeah, well, financials haven't done that well, but some individual banks have. You know, I think the financials are operating under a massive cloud of regulatory scrutiny. I think the things like Basel III have been a massive, massive drag on bank profitability. You do seem to have finally turned the corner for lending. Lending is expanding across categories. It used to just be C&I lending, but, you know, real estate lending, particularly to development projects and consumer credit, have a credit card side of things that, do seem to be moving. So, I mean, my guess is the banks do okay from this point on.
You don't love them, though.
I don't love them. We own some, but, we wouldn't go out of our way to own a lot of them.
When you say banks, you're talking about the big banks?
Yeah, I think the bigger banks, there's a couple which are interesting, but, it's not an area that I think you need to concentrate on. Consumer discretionary, I think, actually might be suffering from some of the inflationary pressures that we would be worried about. I think that retail is a model which is ultra price competitive. And any kind of increase in costs anywhere along the line, whether it's an extractive cost or a transportation cost or a labor cost, I think they just simply have to absorb it. And we would be somewhat worried about consumer staples as well. I mean, those are the two sectors so far this earnings season, which I think have had the bulk of disappointment for people. And they're fairly well-liked sectors at this point in time.
You comfortable with market valuations right here?
It's okay. I mean, I think the equity market's a lot less crazy than the bond market. So, I think we should kind of cut it a break. I mean, I never like big round numbers. So you look at something like 2,000 in the S&P and you wonder whether that's going to be an issue, you know, for us as we approach it. But, you know, I think bull markets do not end until central banks end them. And I think the Fed is still some distance away from starting its monetary tightening. And I think even then it's going to take time. So I think you simply have to say that the equity market is no longer particularly cheap. It's not particularly expensive.
But as long as
but
the
it
Fed...
has a lot going for it.
Hey, listen, thank you so much. Always enjoy when you come in.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Michael Shaul, he's chairman, chief executive officer at Marketfield Asset Management, $21 billion in assets under management. S&P 500 right now, a gain of 5 points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off about 22, and the NASDAQ a gain of 19. This is Taking Stock. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Pim Fox, and you are listening to Bloomberg Radio. This portion of Bloomberg Taking Stock brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Access global flow with speed, certainty, and ease. Foreign exchange execution fine-tuned to your objectives. That's FX Amplified. That's Bank of America.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014. Bloomberg LP.